Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is John Hunter Nemechek from Nemco Motorsports, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the Cinco de Mayo edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 78. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and tonight, Michael Mullally and myself will once again be delving headfirst into the recent NASCAR controversy, talking a little IndyCar, a little NHRA, some Mazda MX-5 Cup, and a little about the Freda Raceway. This past weekend, IMSA visited the storied raceway at Laguna Seca, now known as Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca. Needless to say, it is one of the marquee races for every competitor who races in a car powered by Mazda, and our first guest had quite the time. Our first guest this evening is Glenn McGee, the winner of the 2015 Mazda Road to 24 Shootout. Dubbed the fastest virtual Mazda driver in the world, winning out against the top simulation drivers from Asia, Europe, Australia, and the Americas, while using iRacing.com's advanced simulation software, Glenn McGee became the 2015 iRacing/Mazda MX-5 Cup champion representative in the 2015 Mazda Road to 24 Shootout. After competing against elite Mazda Club Racing champions and drivers from SCCA and NASA, McGee emerged as the outright winner of the event, earning a $100,000 Mazda scholarship to compete as a Mazda factory driver in the 2016 Battery Tender Global Mazda MX-5 Cup Series, presented by BF Goodrich Tires. We are now pleased to welcome Glenn McGee back to the program. Hello, how you doing?
Adam, hey, how's it going? Great.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
how are you?
Happy to be back. Doing great. Yeah, doing really well. I just got back from Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca, went from virtual to reality and did my first pro race there. So I'm having a great time the last couple of days. So yeah, doing really well.
Awesome. How'd the race go out there?
It was good. Everybody, in the Battery Tender Global Mazda MX-5 Cup Series, there's 43 of us out there. They're all pro drivers, a lot of veterans out there. But I was very surprised. Everybody was we're all trying to kill each other out there on the racetrack, but everybody was really nice off the racetrack and very welcoming. You know, I had a lot of drivers come up to me and just to say hi, and, you know, they knew about my story and they actually really wanted to help me out. So that was a really good, part of the whole thing. It was a real pleasure to meet all these great drivers and a lot of talents, but it's dubbed the most affordable racing series in the world because the car itself, the MX-5 Cup car, is only $53,000 out of the box, and it's built from the factory, so it ends up being actually a very difficult series because the barrier for entry is very low. With the price being so low, the barrier for entry is so low, and then all the talent can just get in there. So there's 43 drivers, a lot of veterans, a lot of winners. John Dean is in there, who's the current champion. So it was a lot to take in. The race actually went really well for me. I had a great practice, ended up P6 in practice, had a decent qualifying. I made some mistakes, but was able to qualify inside the top 10 and started my very first race at Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca. I've done it a good billion times on the simulator, but, my first race start was there, and I got off to what I thought was going to be a good launch. I had a lot of RPM, and it actually ended up being too much RPM. Got a bunch of wheel spin, grabbed second gear a little bit too early. It was just a little overwhelmed in the first part and got past, felt all the way back to somewhere around 15th or so. But then about halfway through the race, I stopped rushing myself and started getting my head down and started making passes and ended up fighting my way all the way back up to 9th. So my first pro race and I got a top 10 finish. So I'm pretty happy with that.
What was the experience like driving the car?
So I'm coming from the simulator into the real thing. So we've simulated this car, Mazda and iRacing, which is the simulation software that I've come from, have developed the car in simulation. They've developed even the suspension parts. So my knowledge of the car is pretty good on the simulator, and going into the real car, it transfers over pretty well. You know, the thing that is different is obviously the G-forces. You don't get that in the simulator. We do have what's called force feedback, which is you have a steering wheel that has earth magnets in it, and those magnets will sort of fight you in corners, like the tires fight you in corners. So the tires on a real car will try and deflect, and you'll feel the grip in the tires through the steering wheel. Well, we get that same effect in the simulator. So there was a lot of crossover, but, you know, it's a little bit different when you're driving down the track and you're driving through dust and rocks are pelting you in the face, and, you know, hitting your helmet. And but it was a blast to drive. It's just such a fun car, very easy to drive and jump into, and it was just a ton of fun. I had a smile on my face the whole time.
For our listeners who aren't familiar, can you describe a little bit more about the Mazda Road to 24?
Yeah, so the Mazda Road to 24, they've held it since 2006. Mazda's held a scholarship shootout, and it's the largest grassroots motorsports prize in motorsports. It's a $100,000 scholarship to compete in the battery tender global Mazda MX-5 Cup Series, which is what I'm taking part in. But what they do for the shootout is they'll bring in the top champions from SCCA and NASA that drive Mazdas, and they'll invite them all to the shootout. And they actually invited iRacers in there this past year. So I got my invitation through the simulation software. So I had to compete in a world championship in an MX-5 Cup car virtually. And through my performance in there, I was invited to the shootout. And at the shootout, they evaluate you on your, you know, your media skills, your speed on track, your ability to sense what the car's doing and take in data and apply it to your racecraft. But essentially we're all, it ends up being like a big, really big professional test day, it seems like, with a big team. We have BF Goodwrench there with providing us with some really fantastic tires. But there were 9 of us invited this year, and they just will put us head-to-head. Well, send us out on track one after another in this new, at the time it was a prototype MX-5 Cup car, and they'll just evaluate you on track and see who's the fastest, who's the most consistent, who takes in data the best, and who applies, you know, the coaching the best, and who has the most potential. So we had a lot of really fabulous drivers in there this year. But I came out on top, and with it I won the Mazda scholarship, the Mazda Road 24 shootout scholarship, which is a $100,000 scholarship to compete in this series. So it's really awesome to win that.
What's the next race you're going to be competing in?
So I just got done at Mazda Raceway, and you know, I really had to take care of my car because I'm leaving actually Tuesday for New York to Watkins Glen, which I'm extremely excited about because it's one of my favorite tracks on the simulator. For me in the simulator, it's one of my best tracks, so I'm hoping it transfers in real life. But it's, you know, it's going to be a really historic track. They used to have F1 races there back in the 60s, and got a lot of history and a lot of speed on there. NASCAR drives there as well, and I think there'll be a lot of drafting. Actually, there'll be a big NASCAR effect there. I think it'll be one of our bigger drafting tracks, so there's going to be just a ton of fighting. And if you didn't watch, if your viewers didn't watch the race at Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca, I would go to Ustream Mazda Live, or go to iRacing.com/live, or even on YouTube and watch our races, because if you watch the end of race 2, it was just like insane, the battling that's going on. I think it's going to be the same out at Watkins Glen.
What are your goals for 2016?
Those are constantly developing right now because, you know, everything was so unknown going into this weekend. You know, I know kind of where I'm going to stack up against the best simulation drivers in the world. Here it's, I think I'm not giving my full potential yet. I think there's so many unknowns and there's so much to take in that I haven't been able to fully, you know, perform, but my performance has been good. I had a little bad luck in Mazda Raceway. I had a tire had contact with a guy, and which ended up cutting one of my tires in race two, so I lost some points there. But a lot of strong drivers. I'd say the top 15 are extremely strong and close. We're within a second of one another. John Dean, who's my teammate at Six Sideways Racing, he's leading the championship in points right now. But I think I'd like to I think I could have gotten up a top five even in that first race. So I'd like to really just get up front and put on a good show, partly. And I think we can get on the podium, possibly get a win. I'd like to by the end of the year, but I'm really focused on trying to get the Rookie of the Year title this year.
Well, good luck next weekend at Watkins Glen, and thank you very much for coming back on the program.
Great. Thanks for having me, Adam. And I just want to say congratulations to Tristan Nunez, who's always on the show, I know, but he got pole in our prototype car at Mazda Raceway, so they're looking really strong in that car. So I think we're going to see a lot more from him and Mazda's prototype car here soon.
I hope so. It should be a good year for him.
I hope so. Thanks, Adam. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Talk to you later.
You too. Bye.
Once again, that was Glenn McGee, the champion in the Mazda Road to 24, who's now competing weekly, well, at least weekly for a few weeks anyway, in the Global MX5 Cup. You can see him next weekend, as he stated, in the Watkins Glen. He was last weekend. He was at the Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca. And you can look up Mazda MX-5 Cup online and see where they're going to be racing near you. We've got a few minutes until our next guest is scheduled, so let's go ahead and listen to a song from Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew.
About your race car, it sure looks bent. Will you be here next week? And are we still friends? I really didn't mean it was a racing deal. I got a little too close, it got a little too real. Then you checked up in the corner and I tapped you in the rear. You were spinning somewhere and it's all so clear. There's a devil in your helmet, who's on tonight? Devil in your helmet, giving bad advice. It's been a good day so far. I put her in the show, sitting nice and pretty outside front row. Two laps later, baby's on a rail, going for the lead with the devil on my tail. Then wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, where'd they all go? Late break, burn, turn, there's the wall. No, please not the radiator, please not the clip. You may be the savior, but here's a little tip. Well, there's a devil in your helmet, who's on tonight? Devil in your helmet, giving bad advice. Put her on the trailer, take her to the shop. Lay in bed, toss and turn, well, shouldn't I not? Plan a little payback, plan a little hell. Y'all shake your hand, pal, but only time will tell. If there's a devil in your helmet, who's on tonight? Devil in your helmet, devil in your helmet, giving bad advice. Devil in your helmet, well, so the story goes. Devil in your helmet, and now everybody knows, and now everybody knows. I can't hear it, now everybody knows, that
devil in your helmet. There's a devil in your helmet. Now everybody knows that there's a devil in your helmet.
Hi, this is Jason Vines, author of What Did Jesus Drive? And you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Our next guest tonight is Melissa Missy Linker, the executive producer and co-host of the Indy Sports Car Podcast, which talks mostly IndyCar, but does discuss the Mazda Road to Indy, Formula One, and the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. The podcast can be found on iTunes for Apple users, Podbean app for Android users, RedDragonsRadio.com, and Stitcher.com. You're invited to tune into the main show of the Indy Sports Car Podcast every Tuesday at 9 p.m., which discusses IndyCar news, races, and driver interviews. Be sure to turn to Lowdown for the Showdown event every Thursday at 9 p.m. before race weekend. Discuss Indy Rivals. Hashtag Indy Rivals to help you choose who to pick for your fantasy lineup. Also tune into Talkin' Racin' with Thompson, a USF 2000 driver for Cape Motorsports, following his career through the Mazda Road to Indy ladder system. She also invites everyone to follow her on Twitter at Missy Links, LAINKZ, at ISC Podcast, ISCP Podcast, excuse me, on Facebook at Melissa Linker, and also on their website at www.theindiesportscarpodcast.com. It'll be a couple of minutes until Missy's on the program this evening, but she's going to have a, we have a lot to talk about, as you've probably seen. There's been a whole lot of IndyCar activity the past few weeks. This week, especially on Friday night, the promoters announced that there will not be an IndyCar Grand Prix of Boston. That kind of took IndyCar by surprise, but it probably shouldn't have. And they issued a little statement that was a little, basically a little bit of a cop-out statement. But we'll get into that in a moment. Now, we'd like to welcome Melissa back to the program. Hello, how you doing?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. First off, how do you feel about the recent announcement that the lauded Boston Grand Prix has been canceled?
I'm personally very disappointed, only because I'm, you know, on the East Coast here in Jersey, so it would have been nice to have a close race besides Pocono. So I am extremely, extremely disappointed it's been canceled.
Do you think they'll be able to find a replacement venue, or do you think it's just going to disappear from the schedule?
I want to have hope, but I think it's just going to disappear from the schedule because I just feel it's too late in the season now to even get something together because everybody's got something going on already. It's planned, I mean, a year in advance. So I want to hold out hope for it, but I think it's going to be a one race less schedule this year again.
Yeah. How was the latest IndyCar race you attended? I saw you had lots of pictures online and pictures everywhere.
It was awesome. We have never been to Grand Prix of Alabama or in Birmingham, Alabama, period. So it was a great experience. I've learned that, you know, the fans there in Birmingham, Alabama, just they're IndyCar fans because they came out en masse. So, you know, they were just awesome to go there. So it was a great track. I had tons of fun, you know, watching Parker do his two USF 2000 victories was awesome. So, you know, because we're good friends with him on our show. So it was just great all around.
How do you feel IndyCar handled the on-track action between Rahal and Pagano late in the race?
I haven't really been on board with the three Stewart system they've been having because they've been missing a lot of things and just calling other things that you're just like, what? And how'd they miss this? And so I personally think Graham could have got a penalty for, at least unavoidable contact on one occasion at least. But, it's just, I'm just not happy with a lot of their decisions they're making. But that one could be questionable. It could have been, what do they call it? Losing my train. A racing incident. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they call it eventually. But it was just one of those. Simon was going into a right hander anyway, and then Graham just wasn't a good passing spot for him at that point.
This month, IndyCar returns to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the road course event, as well as the 100th running of the Indy 500. Who's your favorite going into both events?
Well, for the GP, I really like Simon Pagenaud. He's won here before. Like, he won the inaugural Grand Prix at Indianapolis, and he's been on a hot streak lately. So, you know, he's always a good pick. But, you know, I always like to root for my boy, Will Power, too. So, but, yeah, I like Simon Pagenaud at the GP. And, yeah, Indianapolis 500, it's just I like so many of them. Like, I want to see, you know, Elio get another one. I'd like to see Simon win. I'd like to see Will win. Yeah, I would like to see, you know, Ryan Hunter-Reay get back there, you know, get his season back on track from last year. You know, so I'd like to see a couple drivers win the 500, but it's always exciting to watch the 500, you know. You never know who's going to win, so we'll see.
Exactly. The recent statements by the head of IndyCar have stated that the cancellation of the Boston event will be a black eye for the city, while a lot of pundits believe that it is, in fact, a black eye for IndyCar. What's your opinion?
I want to say it's more of a black eye for IndyCar because they've had so many recently. Last year, Brasilia, the opener was, you know, canceled. I think, you know, Japan, I mean, we can go on and on with the list of names that have been canceled, but it's just, you know, we need a consistent schedule like other, you know, racing, you know, venues do. So, but we don't have that consistent schedule yet. So no. It's just one of those things, you never know when, you know, I mean, NASCAR, they know they're going to, you know, Talladega twice, I believe it is. I'm sorry, not a big NASCAR fan. But they go there, you know, once, twice. So everybody knows that, you know, but IndyCar, it's just one of those, you just don't know. And, you know, we just need more consistency in our schedule. But, yeah, I want to say it's more of a black eye for IndyCar. But, I mean, Boston, they've rejected a bunch of stuff lately. And, you know, I'm from Philly, so I don't need too many reasons not to like Boston.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. And hopefully it's a good race in Indianapolis. And hopefully it'll be a really well-attended event and everybody will enjoy it. And let's keep our fingers crossed anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be at the GP, so, and maybe the 500, but definitely the GP, so we're looking forward to it.
Awesome. Have a good time, and thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on again.
Once again, that was Missy Linker, the host of the IndyCar Sports Car Podcast, which you can find at theindycarsportscarpodcast.com or any of the other links I gave a few moments ago. Before we get into our next discussion, which will deal a little bit with the crash fest at Talladega, let's go ahead and listen to a song from Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew.
with a stick. Throw you down, helmet, lose it in the pit with a cold hard fire. That's your last when you cry.
Hi, this is Jack Baldwin from GT Sport Racing, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder.
Welcome back to Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair. Just got late word that our co-host, Michael Mullally, will be calling in momentarily. She is currently working on the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder number 61 Mustang in her garage there, so... As I mentioned before our little musical interlude, we're going to discuss a little bit about the crash fest that was Talladega. Apparently a little less than half the cars ended up crossing the finish line at the end of the race. There were nearly two dozen accidents. 17 were considered, I suppose, major incidents at the racetrack, which led to a huge debate about flying race cars and what they're supposed to do and in Talladega. There were certain comments made in the media and by certain drivers that they wouldn't even go to Talladega if they didn't have to. One of those comments was, of course, made by champion Kyle Busch, so you can't discount it very much. However, the most popular driver, Dale Earnhardt Jr., mentioned that it shouldn't even talk about it because it won't make any difference anyway. That's kind of an interesting way of looking at things. Talladega has a history of, and Daytona, of course, as well, has a history of being a major crash-filled racing spectacle, but that is what fills up the grandstands, it seems like. I've actually mentioned that on the past in this program, that the largest amount of people in an arena that I've ever seen for a racing event, if you will, was at the Monster Jam at the Orange Bowl there in Miami. And everybody was really involved in the race. They were all happy to be there. The grandstands were entirely full. People cheered all the time. And the bigger the crash, the bigger the cheer. And I think that's kind of the attitude that some of the people in Talladega have. It was truly an amazing event. A spectacle in the full sense of the word. Definitely something to see. I don't know if I'd actually like to head out there at some point. I have a standing invitation from Tim Despain of the Speedway Digest Radio Network, who lives in the Talladega area, the host of the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson, which you can hear on this network. I believe it's on Tuesday nights. It might be on, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's on Tuesdays. And look at Speedway Digest Radio Network.com for details. But Talladega is kind of an interesting event. It's always been a really huge party atmosphere as well. I know the weather kind of played havoc with that this year, as there was that really nasty storm that went through there and it canceled some of the official events they were supposed to have in the area of the infield they call the Boulevard there. But it does seem like a really cool event to go to. They do have the two races there. They have the one springtime / early summer event. Then they have the other one closer to Halloween that's part of the chase. So honestly, I think I'd rather go to the one in October. I think that would probably be a better race, but because by then they're sort of calming down. The chase field is set. It is part of the chase, of course, and the drivers are all trying just to finish. And it seems like for the spring / early summer race, they're pushing really hard. They're trying to get ahead, trying to see what's going to happen, and a lot of the times they push too hard. It gets people angry. It
reinforces old rivalries that are a big deal in NASCAR. I understand there was an incident between Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano after the race as well. They had to put a little bit of that under the water under the bridge type thing for the beginning of the season. But now that it is into May, it seems like that water is dried up and they're going to start pushing again. And it might be good for the sport. You never know. There was a recent, we talked a little bit last week about the fact that not only is the amount of people in the grandstands decreasing now in NASCAR, but the ratings have gone down as well compared to last year and especially compared to a few years back. So NASCAR really has to figure out what their deal is. They have to improve outreach to the fans. They have to improve the product they're putting out on the racetrack, and they have to try and make it an even and fair sport. Now, some of those are mutually exclusive, and they walk that tightrope to try and make sure that they hit on all those points, at least to a certain extent. But sometimes they're not as successful as others, and it's not a good thing. It's really not. But they're trying. They are trying, and I know on CMT, just to put in a little bit of a plug for them, maybe they can contact me and thank me for that later. But on CMT this weekend, they've got a new NASCAR miniseries type thing, which has a little bit about the beginning of NASCAR. Last night they had the iconic Days of Thunder on, starring Tom Cruise, and that's always a really cool thing to see. With the fact that Talladega was such a crash fest this past weekend, maybe they should have had Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby gone. That might have been a little bit more appropriate. You never know. But I'm sure that they're hoping that by advertising on CMT and a few other different platforms, they did the Nickelodeon thing before, where they had the short programs about the NASCAR stars and all that. They're trying to reach out to the younger generation. I don't think it's working if you look at the people who are in the grandstands, but they're trying, and that you have to give them the points for trying. I don't know how many points you can give them, but you have to give them a couple. In the National Hot Rod Association, last week, Courtney Force was victorious in Top Fuel, or in Funny Car, rather. Not in Top Fuel. But it was pretty cool. Courtney Force is always an interesting character. Her husband, Graham Brayhall, has been traveling with her on occasion when his schedule allows. And she's having a pretty good year. The entire Force family is. Brittany had the victory a couple of weeks ago that we talked about last week. So that's pretty cool. Leah Pritchett, who's been a previous guest in the program, who had the issue when her team basically closed around her there. She picked up the ride with Logano Family Racing, and now she's racing for Don Schumacher Racing. So that's a good thing. It should be good for her career. It should be good for her. And it should be a pretty good thing. The NHRA doesn't have quite the same issues as NASCAR does, but they still have some ground to make up as well. So we wish them luck in that. I'm not sure how many of you follow the website, Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder page on Facebook. We posted a link the other day that was taken by Carlos Diaz, a video of the Ferrari testing at the Daytona International Speedway. Now, there has never been a Formula One race at the Daytona International Speedway, but it was pretty awesome to see the Ferrari zoom around the track there. And I think it'd be really, really cool if Ferrari decided to go to Daytona International Speedway with Formula One sometime in the future. I know they've had some issues this past year with the track there in Texas. The U.S. Grand Prix might be having some some second thoughts about committing to the Circuit of the Americas. So I'm sure Daytona National Speedway would be an awesome, awesome replacement for that. They'd have to do a little bit of adjustments in the infield, of course, because the I'm sure some of the fencing has to be brought up to spec a little bit more and some other things. But it would be really, really cool to see a Formula One race at Daytona National Speedway, and I personally think that would be amazing. And I hope that that actually happens. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. This week, in the racing news section, we've written several articles about Mazda racer Laguna Seca, as well as reviewing managerial action in Houston and the recent Supercross weekend. In addition, if you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about our slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening, which can be found by visiting palmbeach.happeningmag.com. This week, we published another of our several celebrity chef features, as well as some new restaurant reviews. We've also highlighted a few special events around town, and began our Wire Part Wednesday feature. In the next few weeks, we're going to have some happening people interviews coming up. We're trying to reach out to the cast of members of Storage Wars Miami, which is on hiatus right now, but it was a pretty awesome show, spin-off of the original Storage Wars based in California. This one's based out of South Florida. Not only Miami, but they have a lot of stuff to take place in the Palm Beaches. So I think that that will be a wonderful feature to have on Palm Beach Happening. We're looking forward to starting that soon. Visit us on Twitter at PBHappening, on the website, palmbeach.happeningmag.com, Instagram at PBHappening, and more, and find out what's happening in the Palm Beaches. We thank you for listening, and look forward to seeing you again next week in the Thunderdome. We'll be delving into the wonderful world of modern motorsports with guests representing the top series in the nation and beyond.